My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone. Savior's love through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. Every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong. The Savior's love through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all.
He is Lord,
Lord of all. In the Savior's love through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
He is Lord,
Lord of all.
Father, we just honor you today, Lord. We just lift up our voices and we sing. Lord, we lift up our hearts. We lift up our thoughts. Lord, I just pray that if there's anything here this morning that may hinder your word from being spoken or your Holy Spirit from doing its mighty work, Lord, we pray that it be removed right now. Lord, I pray that each and every person let their ears be opened and their heart be warmed by the infilling of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray that if anyone that's here this morning that is sick or afflicted, Lord, that they may be healed. Lord, we just believe in your holy power, Lord, the power that can only come from you because you are the source. You are the vine that we want to stay connected to. So, Lord, we just praise you this morning. We honor you in everything that we do today. Lord, let your Holy Spirit reign in our lives and in this church. Let it be so this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, choices bring change. Choices bring change. Spiritual growth is not automatic. You just don't mature, right? When we're born as a baby, we're not automatically mature when we come out, right? It takes a process. Well, you know, spiritual growth is really much like that. But change is a matter of choice. We can change. We can't just passively sit around and do nothing and expect to grow. We must make three choices this morning. I'm going to bring out three choices if we really want to change. First, we must choose our thoughts. And the Bible talks about this. It says, finally, brethren, this is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, in the New American Standard, when you look at that translation, it says, dwell on these things. That is because what we think about is important to God. Amen? What we think about is important to God. You know, if I asked you, let me ask you a question. How does a person become a Christian? Most of us, we respond by repenting first, right? We need to repent. You know, and that's true, but repentance is often misunderstood because we think that, you know, it's like a man standing on the corner that's got a sign and he's holding it up and it says, turn or burn, right? You ever seen those signs before? You ever heard that before, turn or burn? You know, but, you know, there's more to it than that. You know, we think that repentance is only as changing our behavior, but yet in the Scripture, if we look in the Greek, that word repentance means to change your mind or perspective. So it's not just about changing your behavior, it's changing your mind and perspective. It's more than just behavior. You follow me this morning? Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, the Bible here teaches us that the way we think determines the way we feel. And the way we feel determines the way we act. So if you want to change your actions, you have to go back to the source and change the way you think. And sometimes you may act resentful because you feel resentful. And you know why you feel resentful? You ask that question because you're thinking that you're thinking resentful thoughts. It's the same. The same is true for anger. You're thinking angry thoughts. It's the same. It's true for many things. It's worry. We worry about so much because we're thinking about the thing we're worrying about, right? And so it just messes up everything. Stop thinking about those things. We have to realize, you know, our thought patterns can be destructive at times in our life. It can be very destructive. You know, it's interesting that the terminology, you know, in psychology, the terminology we used to talk about mental health all the time. But somewhere it's kind of changed, and now we talk about behavioral health instead of mental health. Because the experts realize that your mental health determines your behavioral health. You know, what you think about, what's going on inside that big, thick head of mine, you know, it affects how I behave at times, right? I get all ticked off at some lady at the drive-thru that gives me the wrong coffee. Huh? I'm still on that, ain't I? That was last week. You know, but see, it's how I respond, amen? It's how I respond. It's my point. You know, my mental health, which, you know, that's debatable where it's at times. It affects my behavior. You know, Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." You know, don't focus on your actions. Don't focus on your feelings either. You know, people often say, "Well, I'm going to be more loving," or "I'm going to be happy. No matter what it takes, I'm going to make myself happy." You know, you can't force your feelings. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work. Simply focus on changing your thoughts. That's what changes everything. When you change the way you think, you also change the way you feel. So stop thinking the thoughts that are getting you into trouble and start thinking the thoughts that will get you where you want to go. You know, God gives us things to think about. He has given us the Word of God, or the Word, the Bible. He has wrote to us stories, beautiful stories to think about. He's given us poems to read and to listen to. He's given us parables to contemplate. He's given us an entire book to change the way we think about things. You know, and I challenge you to read. I challenge you to open up the Word. Open up your Bibles and read and study and meditate on His Word. And if you do that, it will change the way you think. It will change the way you think. In Psalms, it says this, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its seasons, and its leaves do not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers." Psalms 1:1-2. God says that when we meditate on his word, we will bear fruit. We'll be fruitful, productive people. People full of love and joy and peace, patience, and the rest of the fruit of the Spirit. He also says that we'll prosper spiritually. You know, sometimes think we prosper. That word prosper means that we're gonna be rich and we're gonna have new houses and new cars and we won't be financially stressed at times, and that's just not so. The Bible doesn't teach that. But he does say that you can be spiritually prosperous. You can be overwhelmingly prosperous. What does it mean to meditate on God's words? It means to go over and over and over it again. And then go over it some more. You know, the Eastern concept of meditation, it means you need to empty yourselves. To empty yourselves. But the biblical concept of meditation is to fill yourselves. Fill yourselves with God's Word. Amen? Amen. You know, meditation doesn't mean that you put your mind in a neutral and think of nothing. That's easy to do, you know. If my wife looks at me and I'm dazed and she says, "What are you thinking about?" I can clearly tell her I'm thinking of nothing. Nothing. Nothing there. You have those moments when we just want to think about nothing, right? But you know, God, when we start reading the Word, He puts those thoughts into our heads to help us to enrich our lives. We have to when we meditate on His Word, we start thinking seriously about what we're reading. We take it verse by verse and then apply it to our lives and say, what does this mean in my life? How does this apply to me? Because let me tell you, you'll find things that apply to you in the Scripture. And you can read that same Scripture over and over again, and one day you'll pick it up and read it, and it's like, boy, that's exactly what I needed today. It's amazing. In Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You know, we love to sing. I love the hymns. I love the music. I mean, I like all kinds of music. Maybe not rap so much. Not so much, you know. But I like music in general, and if you listen to the Word, sometimes during meditation, you listen to these praise, when we praise and worship our Lord and Savior, I mean, it brings me closer to Him. Singing thankfulness to Him. Amen? We need to spend regular time every day where we just sit down and read the Bible and meditate on the Word. We can choose what we think about. We can choose what we put in our minds. There's a lot of garbage out there in this world today. We like to watch TV, don't we? We really do. But man, I'm telling you, it's full of a lot of garbage. It really is. I mean, everywhere we go, it seems like you're bombarded with garbage. And if we dwell on those things and we think about those things, guess what? It leads us away from the truth and leads us away from what's righteousness and what's holy. We can choose what we think about. And number two, we must choose to depend on the Holy Spirit. We got to choose to depend on Him. The Bible says that God puts the Holy Spirit in us to give us power. You know, all Christians, if you've received Christ into your life, the Spirit lives in you. But not all Christians have God's power in their lives. And Jesus gives us this illustration of this. In John 15:5, He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, this passage of Scripture, the branch is totally dependent upon the vine. It cannot produce fruit by itself. The fruit growing comes with the connection to the source. If we went out in the springtime and tied apples on a dead leafless tree, you'd probably think, if I did that, I'd be crazy. But that's what we seem to do sometimes. We want to go tie fruit on dead trees. Amen? Amen? And everybody, you know, looks at that and you think you're fruitful, but you're not. You can't do it without being connected to the source. It can't be done. If you want to produce fruit, you must be connected to the vine. You might ask, how do you know whether you're abiding with Christ? And how do you know if you're depending upon the Spirit? Well, it's simple. It's really simple. Do you have a desire for godly things? Do you have a desire to be more like Christ? If you sin, do you feel guilty about it? Do you strive to walk in the light rather than in the darkness? Do you have a desire to produce the fruits of the Spirit? The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Galatians 5:22. If we depend on the Spirit, we will be led by the Spirit and He will lead us to godly things. Number three, we must choose to respond wisely to circumstances. In addition here, we choosing our thoughts and choosing to depend on God's Spirit, we can also choose how we respond to circumstances in our lives. Just like I was laughing or talking about the lady at McDonald's who seems to always give me the wrong coffee. I'm on that again. But you know, it's how I choose to respond to that young lady. I could be mean and I could be hateful and I could say bad things, but it's what I choose to do. I choose to show Christ instead of not showing Christ. Because you know what? It may be one of these days that that young person may come to this church. It may be me that leads that person to Christ. I don't want to say that pastor from that church. Wow. I hope he never comes through drive-thru again. I can't believe he's a pastor. That's right. Honest answers. But you know, we're all that same way. You know, it's not that we just represent the Church of the Nazarene here this morning. That's not it. It's we represent Jesus Christ. If you're a born-again believer, you represent God Almighty. And let me tell you, we need to show that. I want that people to say, you know, that guy serves Christ. Why? Because of the way he acts, who he is, not just because he puts on a show, because that's the way he is. Even when he gets mad, he still praises God. I'll get off that. There was a guy by the name of Viktor Frankl. He was a Jew who was put in a Nazi concentration camp. He says that while he was in the camp, the guards stripped him of everything. They took his identity, they took his wife, they took his kids, his family. They took his clothes, they took everything from him. They even stripped the wedding ring off of his finger. But there was one thing that they couldn't take from him. And in his book that he wrote, he says this, "The last of human freedoms is the ability to choose one's attitude in a given set of circumstances." The guards could not take his freedom to choose his attitude. You know, we can't control all of our circumstances in our lives. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and we don't even know what's going to happen today. We can't control our circumstances, but we can control how we respond to them. We can control whether an experience makes us bitter as a person or better as a person. That's our choice. And whatever in life is not so much what happens to us, but what happens in us. Amen. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 8. And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. You know, God is watching. He's watching over us in good circumstances and in bad circumstances. And He has power to cause all things, the good and the bad, to work for the good of His glory. Paul writes this in Philippians 4:11. He says, "I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity." In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Paul knew what it was like. God also uses the situations and circumstances to help develop our character. This is in the life of Joseph in the Old Testament. We read Joseph was betrayed by his brothers and sold into slavery. And he says this in Genesis 50:20. He says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." Amen. This holds true in our lives today. Maybe there's someone right now who is trying to hurt you. But I tell you, don't worry. If you are a believer, if you have put your life in God's hands, God can use even such painful and terrible circumstances and situations for the good. It's hard to understand sometimes, but God takes bad situations and He makes good out of them. God will develop within you a mature character. And that is what the fruit of the Spirit is all about. God wants to produce the character of Christ in our lives. Most of all. Because He knows that the more we become like Him, the more fulfilled we will be. When God created man, He made man in His own image. Listen to that. He made you in His image. He created us to be like Him. Not God. Not gods. But godly. Amen. He does it by working on our character through His words, through His Holy Spirit, and through the circumstances of life. The key here, the truth here is God produces the fruit of the Spirit in us by allowing us to encounter situations and people with characteristics that are exactly the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. Consider, you know, this example, how God produces love in our lives. Loving people that are loving people is easy, isn't it? It's easy to love somebody that's lovable. But how easy is it to love the unlovable? How easy is it to love the unlovable? Unloving people, when we're able to do that, when we can love the unlovable, we become more like Christ. We become more godly. Jesus said this, "Love your enemies and do good. And lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. For He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." Luke 6:35. To teach us this real love, God puts some unloving people around us. And we learn real love by loving them, like that cantankerous person that might be sitting right next to you this morning. Or that person that you work with. Or that pesky neighbor. But God teaches us to love by letting us practice on the unloving. That's why Jesus came. He didn't come for the righteous. He came to save the sick, the unlovable, the undesirables, the deplorables. The same is true for peace. Anyone can be at peace in calm situations, can't we? That doesn't really take much character. But God teaches us about peace in the midst of total chaos. I mean, that's what this world is like sometimes. Our lives can be like that. Man, there's moments in our lives that just seems like it's just complete chaos, out of control. We just don't get it or understand it. When everything is falling apart around us, and our lives seem to be boiling over, that's the situation that God brings peace and teaches us how to have peace. An inner peace that nothing else can give, or no one else. Last point I'd like to make is, it takes time. It takes time. There's no such thing as an instant maturity or an instant spiritual growth. That's a fact. We're all on different levels. And it's not connected with age. I've seen some pretty young men be pretty mature in their walk with Christ. And I've seen some more mature people. I won't use old words like old or anything. More mature, be very immature in their walk. We have to give it time, and you can grow spiritually. You can begin by telling God right now that you want to be more productive and fruitful. You want to be a more fruitful Christian, that you want to cooperate with His plan. And that's what we have to do. We have to cooperate with Him. We have to commit ourselves to reading and studying and memorizing and meditating on the Bible and ask God to use His Word to change the way we think. We have to invite the Holy Spirit to have free reign in our life. We can't hold anything back. Pray. We've got to pray and talk with Him about everything and accept our circumstances as part of God's plan to change our lives. We need to ask Him to help us respond in difficult situations. God wants to produce the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. And I'm going to ask you this morning, will you cooperate this morning with Him in this life-changing process? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I stand before You this morning, Lord, and I give my life to You. I give my life to You. Just like Paul said, I die daily. Lord, I want more of You every day. Lord, change things in me that needs to be changed. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning that hasn't made that commitment to You, Lord, that right now, where they're at, Lord, they just lift up their hearts to You, Lord, and say, I receive You into my life. Lord, I thank You again for Your Word. Let us leave here better than we came. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.